let's get to the bulk of the talk. When I come to a company, my visits have to have three elements to them. Number one, they have to be unpredictable. Even though Tom knows by simple mathematics I come approximately 12 times a year, he has no idea when I'll come, whether it be 6 in the morning, whether it be during night shift, when they do cleanup, whether it'll be at 4 in the afternoon when he's about to leave, or whether it'll be in the morning. Secondly, he doesn't know whether I'll come one day of the week and then come again at the end of the week. So I stagger the visits to make myself unpredictable. The other important aspect of my visit is it has to be comprehensive. I can go through the routine of my inspection and say, well, I'm in a rush today and I'll overlook two or three things. And my experience has been that since I'm committed to doing all the points of my inspection, even though sometimes I'm tired and I want to get home, it's those times specifically when I find something wrong. Not in this plan specifically, but in general, all the finds that I find where mistakes have been made are at times when I really would rather have gone home early that day. And the third aspect of my visit is that it has to involve record searching. It's not enough just to go around and look at what's doing in the plant. Plants run with information systems. And my visit is only a snapshot of that moment in the plant. The records are a panorama of all the activity that has been going on in my absence. When I first got into the field of kashrut, looking at it from the outside, I figured that when I would come into a plant, I would be resented. Number one, I'm taking up time from people that are very busy and have a lot of work to do. Number two, I'm the cop. I'm trying to find what's going wrong. That, in the world of a good RFR, it can't be farther from the truth. When I go into a plant, I try to enhance my visit by enhancing my value to the company. I do that by giving my contacts in the company marketing data. In other words, where they can do better selling their products. I also give them feedback on their products. I call that kosher quality assurance, where I taste every product. I also assure them that there's confidentiality, that anything that happens in the plant stays in the plant. Of course, not including my contacts with my office. I show that I'm considerate. If I walk in at a time where there's another inspection going on and it's not opportune for them to meet with me, I'll say to myself, well, I've been here 10 years, I haven't found one kosher violation, I think I can pass this time and not burden them with my visit. And that understanding is appreciated. I also make myself available as an educational resource, helping to train the people that are in charge of implementing the kosher program. For instance, we'll talk about a Schedule A soon. That's the document which lists all the plant raw materials. Now, how are we going to prevent a raw material that's not authorized from coming in if the receiving people don't know what a Schedule A is? So that's another function. And last but not least, I try to keep good humor, which after a long, hard day is appreciated, that the walk around with the rabbi is not drudgery. When I'm walking around, what do I look for? Well, number one, I look inside, and I say to myself, what do I need to inspect in this plant, and to make sure not to miss anything. In the OU inspection forms, there's a checklist of all the aspects of a plant that need to be checked, but from my experience, I already know it by heart, so I can go through it in a mental checklist. I have to check my attitude. I have to make sure that I'm there to promote kashrut, to be a good role model, to not conduct the inspection as if I was burnt out, but to do it positively with a good attitude. Then I'm looking around. What am I looking around for? I'm looking around for the new ingredients. For instance, all of you know that there's a new phenomenon called the trans fat. Every time a company moves to trans fat, they necessarily have a new ingredient. It's going to be a new non-trans fat oil. So I have to make sure it's coming from a kosher source. By the way, lard has no trans fat. I look around, I see tanks. I want to make sure I know what's in the tall tanks. Because sometimes tanks and machinery get switched. And being that this company, for instance, produces tire and dairy, you have to make sure that each tank, each piece of equipment is keeping its integrity in the designation that it has. If it needs to change designation, I have to make sure that it was kashered properly and I was informed about it. I'm looking at labels, making sure the products are labeled with the appropriate symbol. Especially if it's a power product, a dairy product, it shouldn't be labeled power. And vice versa is not such a problem. But it creates also confusion in the minds of the consumer. I look at the plant as a whole. I see if a plant really doesn't care about the cleanliness, about adherence to GMP, good manufacturing processes, I can make an extrapolation that they probably don't care that much about kosher rules either. So I'm looking for those kinds of hints at their attitude, the attitudes of the plant. I look very carefully to see if they're new personnel, because new personnel, number one, require training, and number two, I have to assess their reliability. As Tom mentioned, the company is giving us the assurance that when I'm not around, that they're going to do the right thing. Not everyone is as committed as Tom is to doing the right thing. What can go wrong in a plant? Again, I'm not referring to this plant in particular. It's more general comment. The wrong raw material can come in. Instead of, we were talking before about removing the gelatin, instead of a stabilizer coming in that's made from vegetables, maybe it's made from animal fat or animal bones. And because the vegetable stabilizer wasn't available and they needed to produce a product for a customer that wanted it yesterday, they went to the wrong raw material. Now, even if that would have happened, it would have happened as a one-time solution to a one-time problem. And if I come once a month, how would I ever find out that that happened? So again, I have to look at the receiving logs. The bookkeeping, the record keeping of the company is essential in monitoring whether they are adhering to the kosher program. In a really crazy story. There was a company that had containers of kosher fatty acids, and while I was looking through the receiving log, I noticed that they weren't getting in any kosher fatty acid, and yet these kosher fatty acid drums were sitting in the plant week after week. It turns out that they were taking non-kosher fatty acids, putting it in the kosher, pumping them into the kosher containers, and assuming that the rabbi wouldn't find out about it. Luckily, it went into a non-kosher product. I'm looking for equipment failures. This could have a lot of ramifications, but for instance, in the law of Bishul Akum, those certain foods that require a Jewish person to turn on the fires, you have to make sure that if you turn on a fire, that the fire stays on. You walk in the plant and the fire's off and the rabbi wasn't called, that's a terrible infraction. That means that someone will put on the fire when the rabbi is not there and cook food, and it will go out of the market and it will be a horrible catastrophe. I also pay attention to work that's done over Shabbat. since we can't come in over Shabbat, I want to make sure that people aren't doing the wrong thing when most people know we can't be around. However, that's not a fail-safe policy as far as the company is concerned, because the OU, in cases where the mashgiach, where the RFR suspects the company is doing hanky-tanky on Shabbat, pays for a full stay for the mashgiach, his wife, and family in a hotel with all expenses paid, so he can pay a surprise visit to the plant on the Sabbath. And I've done that two or three times. I also look at the reaction of people when I walk in. When I did my Shabbos inspection 2 months ago, I looked at the store manager of the store that I went into, and he was surprised to see me, but there was no terror in his eyes or any feeling that he felt guilty or nervous about me finding anything wrong. And indeed, there was nothing going wrong. However, if they were doing something wrong, you can usually read it on the person's face. There are certain companies where we have to seal up non-kosher materials, and certain companies we have to seal up kosher materials to prevent them being mixed with the opposite type. I have to look to see if seals were tampered with. Sometimes the company is so motivated to cheat the system that even if it's behind the non-kosher ingredients behind the locked door, they can take off the hinges and get to the ingredient. So you have to be very keen when you're making an inspection, especially when the non-kosher ingredients in the plant. We always keep a emergency key in the case where a company, the mashgiach is for whatever reason unavailable and the company has to get to some raw material, that key is sealed up. I saw a hotel once that steamed the scotch tape with the rabbi's name under it off the envelope with the key in it, removed the key, and was able to scotch tape it exactly as it was found. And had I not seen it myself, I wouldn't have believed it. So therefore, I make extra sure when I seal up keys that they're untamperable. One mashgiach told me that he was sure that the company was using a non-kosher ingredient. They looked up and down and all around. He couldn't find the non-kosher ingredient until he figured it out. He did the next inspection with his wife, sent her into the woman's room, woman's bathroom, and there was the drum of non-kosher ingredients sitting in the women's bathroom. With all this kind of chicanery going on, and fortunately it's not as common as my stories would indicate, but it does go on, we need rabbis in this field that have a sense of achrayut, have a sense of responsibility, that once in a while lose some sleep at night wondering what's going on in their plant. But if losing sleep is only because of mistakes that have happened instead of preventing mistakes that will happen or that could happen, that's a waste of a night's sleep. We always have to be on guard, have our minds working in a track to make sure that the plants that we supervise are indeed kosher. Normally, when we go to someone's house, how can we eat someone else's food? We don't know if it's kosher or not. There's a rule that anyone that keeps kosher, if he testifies that this food's kosher, you can believe him. Eid echad neman bisurin. However, I'm not here all the time. I can't testify that the food's kosher. The only thing I can do is say I've set up a system where it's easy enough for me to catch chicanery, that we can prevent it from happening, and that this mirsas, as it's called in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, this fear that we put in the company, because if they get caught, and of course in their contract it says that we're allowed to publicize this infraction in all the Jewish publications, The fear of losing that business and the embarrassment it will bring to the company is enough to keep 99.9% of our company straight. The other thing that keeps them straight is the personal relationships that we develop with our companies. They know we're dedicated to them, we're out to help them, we want to make it work. The answer is not going to always be no when they call with an emergency. We'll work with them, we'll work through the problem. We have a multitude of halachically acceptable solutions as long as you ask the question first.